This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now is the one and only Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. Mike, there's a lot of championships going around as far as conference championships throughout our areas of the state here.
Yeah, it's that kind of time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of champions, though. It's exciting. I mean, we just talked to a UNC softball coach, and I know you hold a spot near and dear to your heart for things
coach
UNC.
P.
Yeah, and you obviously have that connection there with CSU with her as well. But that was really exciting. Had a chance to catch up with her in the 11 o'clock hour. The women's outdoor Mountain West champs, or the outdoor track and field team, got the Mountain West championship as well. So, I mean, we're talking about a lot of championships lately.
Yeah, they're cruising. I mean, the women's team is one. Gosh, you just sit there and you think about it. 2019, they won indoor and outdoor. 23, they won indoor and outdoor. Last year, they won the indoor. Bedard's got something cooking over there, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, the good things are happening. It's really fun to see it, man. I love it because it's so exciting for this area to just see great sports. I know football hasn't been the greatest collectively for a lot of our teams that we talk about on the show. We think that's changing, though. We really do. But you're seeing everybody else, you know, put some successful seasons together.
Yeah, it's, you know, actually, if you sit there and think about it, the track team has been outstanding for a long time. But as of recently, they've really started to pile up trophies. And then, you know, volleyball has still been winning. Yeah, they won the regular season title in 21, and they had their long stretch of it. But, yeah, you've got some teams that are excelling, doing some things, you know, especially in the last 10 years. In this last decade, women's basketball has won titles. And that's what you do is you sit there and you want to look at getting football and men's basketball back up there to the point where they can win Mountain West championships. And like right now, you look at the men's golf team, they were in the hunt. Unfortunately, they had like one bad hole today. They were in first at the NCAA regional. And Christoph Blyer is still leading that tournament right now.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Mike, I saw this about an hour ago or so from Colorado State Women's Basketball Twitter account. Going to sign up Ryan Williams. He's going to stay through 2027. Talk about these great coaches. That's certainly one of the good ones, too.
Yeah, Pep Riley. Yeah, you bet. He's just an energetic guy. You call him Pep Riley because he's ready to get any crowd going at any time, doesn't matter the sport. Interesting thing about, if you want to know a little bit about Ryan, it's this. So we're out at the Mountain West basketball tournament this past year in Vegas. And the team had gotten there, and they'd settled into the hotel, and the women are about to go over to watch, you know, the game that would determine who they play in their next round the next day. And right as soon as Ryan's about to get on the bus, another bus pulls up from Colorado State. It was the band and the cheerleaders, and they started getting off the bus. So Ryan had all of his players get off the bus and applaud them as they got off the bus.
That's cool.
And then they went to the tournament. I mean, that's the kind of enthusiasm Ryan has for Colorado State. And of course, he's had successful teams. I mean, this is 21 seasons all the time. He had them in the championship game 2 years ago, semifinals this past year. You know, they're still trying to get back to winning, you know, a regular season or a tournament title themselves. But, you know, they've done it in the recent past. So it's good to have a stability, somebody you can really kind of look at for the most part. They're going to win 20 games every year.
I love that. And that's something you can't really overlook. The fact that you're just kind of always in some kind of a conversation as far as positives go. If you're kind of in that mix where, hey, yeah, they can fall asleep and win 20 games, you're always thinking about potentially you get hot in the conference tournament or what have you, and you can do something great. That's all you need. That's what you need is a chance. And a guy like Ryan Williams gives you that every single year.
Right, and if you're a fan base, isn't that what you want from your programs across the board? If you're a CSU fan, you'd like to feel like your teams are going to compete, be in the top three every year and be in contention to win the title, and you're seeing that with a lot of the programs here, and everybody is trying to get to that point. I mean, tennis had never won anything, and they're trying to get to it. Women's golf had their best season of all time. You're starting to see some things that are positive turns for a lot of programs that maybe you hadn't seen in a while.
Mike Brohar joining us from CSURams.com. Mike, what do you know about Isaiah Stevens these days, man?
He's playing a lot of basketball these days, and at some point in time, he's going to make a very important decision, and I just wish a young man peace when it comes time to do that.
Yeah, I bet you can't wait until that decision is made.
You know, Brady, it's just going to be one of those things. You're going to find somebody else, and you're going to bring it up next year.
Yep.
I'm sitting there. I've already looked at the football roster and go, okay, at the end of the season, who is Brady going to ask? Are they coming or are they going? Whether or not. I mean, last year, I mean, you were on the Torrey Horton bandwagon last year, and he never had any inkling.
Never a doubt in my mind, Mike. Never a doubt in my mind.
But yet you were asking me about it all the time. I think you asked his quarterback if he was going to stay.
Oh, I asked him on the air if he was going to stay.
Yeah.
I was like, can you text him while we're on the air and ask him, put pressure on him?
What is it about our athletes that you're so excited for them to leave?
Well, it's not that I'm excited for them to leave. I'm excited for them not to leave, but I'm also excited to talk about whether or not they're going to leave.
I get it. It kind of eats up some airtime, right?
Well, it's a three-hour show, Mike. I mean, you know, there's only... I mean, we're getting ready to get into July soon, and it's going to be just rocky. Yeah. So I've got to create some narratives at some point.
That's you pretty much going to have to. I'll ask you this about the Rockies. Are you with me? Doyle needs to play every day or at least three out of every 4 days.
I will admit, I have not been watching as much as I should have, but every time recently in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I've been watching Mr. O'Doyle Rules. It has been really, really good, so I'm excited about him. But, Mike, I just can't get excited. I can't. When I say excited, I mean I'm kind of like somewhat excited. It's hard for me to get over the moon right now about this Rockies team.
Because they're not very good, and you were very caught up with the whole – Avalanche,
yeah,
you know, them making their run, and now you've got the Nuggets getting ready to play tonight.
Yep.
You're very going to be amped. Maybe when that's done,
maybe
for a month, you'll watch the Rockies, and then really fall camp will start up.
And that's the thing. I always
and then that will divert your attention, especially if the Rockies are still horrid at that time. I'd like to know what Tanner thinks.
He's obsessed with the Rockies, but he's critical of every other team in the history of the world. But the Rockies can do no wrong, and
I know, but I'd like to know what his thoughts are on Doyle, and I'd like to know why
he's obsessed with
him. I want to know why Tovar isn't running more.
I'll ask him. I'll tell you what, Tanner today, he's kind of over Bud Black. It sounds like
Over Bud Black?
Yeah,
never blamed Bud Black.
He was a Bud Black apologist for a very long time. This season, something has turned, and I don't know what exactly, but he has it all. He watches every single Rockies game, so that's his life. You know, it's cows and Rockies. Yeah,
I watch a lot of baseball.
All right, I know you do. Are you going to be watching the Nuggets tonight? Watch the Nuggets tonight, 6:30.
I might turn it on. Yeah, because I'm kind of. I think it's an interesting matchup. I think on paper, Denver they should win. I don't think anybody should question that, but. There's the LeBron factor for me. He has that ability to just deem his team as going to win a quarter, win a game, win a half. And sometimes I don't think you can stop him when he gets that in his mind. So I think that kind of makes it an interesting series. But I'd like to see Denver really, like, run that team a lot these first two games and have some old tired legs go back to L.A. for the Lakers.
Yeah, I think there's some pressure on obviously home court advantage and all that stuff, but man, I think a lot of relief would pour into the Nuggets fan base if they can just make sure you take care of tonight's game. Maybe I think it's a 6-point spread. Maybe win it by 6+.
Yeah, and I think the thing that'd be coolest to me if the Nuggets made the finals, because you're going back, you know, it wasn't that far back in the history where these players were just like creating super teams on their own to try to win titles. And that meant a team like Denver in a market that was never attracting all these big names was never going to win an NBA title. And now they actually have a very legitimate shot to win it. And I think that makes the sport more interesting for me.
I'm very excited tonight, Mike. I'm very excited. No negatives from me. All positives today.
That's
for the most
weird.
Part. Yeah.
That's a different turn for you.
Well, how about this? Fox selects CU season opener at TCU for the big noon Saturday telecast. Thoughts, Mike?
Yeah, it makes sense to me because you're going to get eyes on the broadcast. One, because TCU, you know, they made it to the championship game. And two, you've got all this attention on Deion and all the stuff that you're doing. So it gives them plenty of stuff to talk about. So So there will be eyes on that game, and if you're a network, that's what you're going to look for. Now, a couple years, you know, a year from now, is there still going to be that same interest? We're going to have to see how CU actually performs, because they've still got a lot of spots open on their roster, last I checked.
A lot. It's very much, and I know all teams are kind of going this route, and again, I get that, and that's how it is, but it really feels like it's an NFL free agency situation going on in Boulder. And I'm not knocking it. It is what it is. It's just interesting.
If you look at it, Brady, it's even worse, because in the NFL, you at least have a salary cap, right?
Yeah.
So there's only so much that you can do. I mean, if you wanted to clear out your roster, I suppose you could, but you're not going to make it back. Like in college football, I mean, you're seeing teams just completely transform the rosters because of the transfer portal from one year to the next. And if you're a rich school with a lot of NIL money, you have a chance to possibly do that. I don't think CU's got that kind of NIL money that they can throw around. It was interesting. I was reading a story, and I think we've all expected that this was happening. But The Athletic had a really good story yesterday or the day before, where there are coaches that are mad because there are players in the Power Five that are getting like DM'd by Power Five schools and saying, we'd have NIL money for you if you jump in the portal. And so that's ticking some coaches off, because nobody's policing that. And it's not supposed to be that way, but that's kind of the way people are looking at it. And it was an interesting read.
It's very fascinating. All of this stuff is so interesting to me. And again, Mike, I think you and I have talked about it at the beginning of all of this. I think back with the Johnny Manziel stuff, I was like, a guy should be able to sell his autograph for a couple of bucks here and there. Like, that was where I stood. Right. Like, they should be able to go out and earn a little bit.
Right.
And maybe I was naive in this, where I didn't see it taking this kind of a life. I thought it would be, you know, here and there, if Clay Millen wants to come on and do a radio show, you know, he should get a few bucks for it if it works out. But I didn't see it turning into ways to entice players to leave. I mean, I guess I kind of did, but not at this level.
No, again, I'll go back. I mean, I sat when Jeremy Bloom sued the NCAA, I sat in that courtroom, and none of this stuff was brought up. You're talking about basically every university has a community outreach program with their student athletes. They go out, they read to schools, they do community projects, they do stuff like that. When the NIL included, there's got to be a quid pro quo. A lot of schools turned that community service into what they're getting paid for.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just community service anymore. I mean, if you think about it, the root of volunteerism isn't that you're getting anything in return. So now we're taking things where people were volunteering for and they're getting something in return. And I really don't think, I agree with you, I don't think anybody saw that coming as part of NIL. They talked about you as, you know, going out and doing the Johnny Manziel thing. Can he sign his autograph? Can he do his own radio show? Ryan Stonehouse for years wanted to do like a kicking camp so he could raise money for a dog shelter, and he couldn't do it and put his name on it. Well, now all of a sudden he could. You know, those were things that people were talking about. You know, you looked at the fact that if the best French horn player at CSU wanted to give private lessons, they could. But yet, Clay Millen couldn't privately teach some kid how to throw a football. But now you're talking about people are getting, you know, there was always, and I think people did think, like, if Peterson, you know, Toyota wanted to give somebody a brand new truck, they could do that. And they would, you know, pitch their auto dealership, right? And that was part of what people were thinking. But now it's just like, okay, now we're going to give you a truck because you're working for the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah, and I love that example. I've had some of those examples too. I love that with the musician, a person in band. You know, maybe they're on some kind, because you can get a scholarship for being a band, right? So you could be going to school same as Clay Millen, but if you want to go to concerts and perform on the side, you can do all that stuff. But Clay can't, like you said, can't go on, put on camps and use his talent for anything else other than football. So that's always been my biggest gripe with it. But yeah, I'll admit, I look at it now and I go, yeah, this is, I wouldn't have necessarily signed off on how this is going. But Mike, this is where I thought, you know, for the NCAA, for so many years, they just kicked the can down the road. And the problem was they finally kicked the can up to this giant wall and there's nothing left to do. And you get the Supreme Court involved and here we go. I still feel like that if 20 years ago, whatever, in the Bloom situation, if you start trying to figure this out now and put the pieces together and regulate it, you might not have what we've seen in the last 2 years of just ultimately free agency.
Right, and that's part of me that I didn't understand back then, even in the day, was this was money the NCAA was not going to cost them anything. These were third parties that wanted to pay their athletes for the things that they were getting away with. And we all knew what everybody was getting away with. We're going to sell a number 11 green and gold jersey on campus in the late 90s and early 2000s, and wink, wink, it's Bradley Van Pelt, right?
Yeah.
So they were making profit off them, and the athletes always wanted to know, why is that not it? And why in the EA sports game and, you know, in the video games, you have my likeness on there. You're using my name and what I look like. Why am I not profiting on this? This is my personal thing. And I agreed with all that. I didn't understand why the NCAA didn't step in. It wasn't going to cost them a darn thing, other than the fact that they could have stepped in and made sure that they legislated it and everybody played by the same rules. But they didn't want to have any part of it. They were fighting this whole rule of amateurism, which had really been gone for a long time. Even when you look at the Olympic model, wink, wink, that went with what the amateurs were. You know, you had national teams that were basically paying for athletes' training. Okay, what was different than that? Why couldn't Jeremy Bloom? And if you think about it, back in the day, Rossignol, I think that was a ski brand that he was. I can't be 100% sure, but let's just use them. Do you think they care that he played college football? No, they wanted him because he was a world champion. They wanted him because he was the youngest member ever to be named to the U.S. ski team. They wanted to sponsor him. And he wasn't like he was making a ton of money, but he was getting a ton of equipment.
Yeah.
United was sponsoring his flights for him to go to, you know, all these places for his ski camps and stuff with the U.S. ski team. That's fine. That had nothing to do with him being a football player. You know, Oakley goggles, I think, is what he had. They weren't even making visors for football helmets at the time. There was nothing that Jeremy Bloom was drawing income from that related anything to the CU football program.
Yeah, and that's why, again, that's why it was just, this was so insane to me that they couldn't make money off their likeness, and then we've gone so far the other way. Mike, I never know where our conversations are going to go, but I absolutely love them. Paul Kirk loves our conversations as well. He shouted out
Paul
to
Kirk,
you on Twitter.
Paul Kirk is being a real funny guy.
I know that story, too.
Do you know this joke?
I do.
Do you know this joke?
I do know the story, and there's a connection coming up in the 1 o'clock hour to that story, Mike, and I won't even say it. I won't say it.
You're not going to say it. Okay. Maybe I'll listen to it through the 1 o'clock hour. And see
it's
it.
Somebody that you know.
Well, I'm sure it is now. Especially if he's popping this. If Paul's popping this off,
yes,
it's going to be funny.
Well, it's not Paul, but it's somebody.
I know. But Paul knows a reference to this. And he never – I still talk to him, like, a lot.
Yeah.
And even though he hired me and then quit a week later.
I know. What was that about? The bait and
because
switch.
Because he hired me, I think he realized the error of his ways.
Yeah.
So he ran off to Utah. But yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's something that gets brought up at least three times a year for me.
I don't know if Paul was supposed to tell me that story, but it was fun. Obviously, you and I are best friends, so he's like, you guys ain't going to hurt anything.
We've had beers together.
Yeah, and we will soon. We're doing it soon.
Well, we've had them in the past, too.
Yeah, and it's going to happen very, very soon, Mike, when things slow down finally.
Locations.
Yes.
Yeah.
At Timnath Beer Works, you and me. I shouldn't tell anybody that, because then they'll want autographs, but we won't give the date and time.
They might want yours, but if you wear sunglasses, maybe they won't recognize you.
That's what I try to do, Mike. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. The entourage usually gives me away.
That's fine.
Mike, my friend, appreciate you, and you hang in there. Let's talk to you soon.
You have a lovely day, sir.
All right, you too. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Paul Kirk was the interim assistant AD or whatever of information, whatever Neves' role is at CSU. Now he's with Utah. He's big wig. He was for the Broncos for a while, too. But we have a fun little inside joke. And it does involve an interview within the 1 o'clock hour. So it's really full circle here. His name rhymes with Schmick Schrombardi. 12:46 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.